want to read. We're from the 5th chapter of Mark. And so we speak along the line some of the scriptures that God's called us to minister. And you see, when folks believe in that, then things happen. But if faith is not exercised or people don't believe it, nothing happens. Now let's read from Mark, the 5th chapter, beginning reading with the 25th verse. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue, or as the margin says, that power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, in connection with this, let's read also from the Acts of the Apostles, the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles and the 38th verse. And then we'll also read from the 19th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, the 11th and 12th verses. First, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And then Acts 19, chapter 11th and 12th verses. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now you know, when you talk about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of folks, because they have been religiously brainwashed, really miss what happened, and miss some of the principles of faith that would work today and would help them to receive from God. Because you see, folks have been taught that the only reason Jesus healed, the one and only reason, was to prove his deity and to prove his divinity, that he was the Son of God. And they've been taught erroneously, because the scripture doesn't teach it, that Jesus always healed everybody, everywhere he went. And you see, that was, they thought, proof to people, you see, that he was deity or God manifested in the flesh. Now you see, what they do is take a scripture or two out of its setting, because on certain occasion, the Bible speaks about every person there in that, on that service, or in that day, at that place, everybody that was there was healed, you see. But then the Bible at the same time talks about other places where Jesus was and where only a few got healed. Now, for instance, here in the 6th chapter of Mark, it would be interesting to know this. We were right there in the 5th chapter of Mark just a moment ago. But look at the 6th chapter of Mark and the 5th verse concerning the ministry of Jesus in his own hometown of Nazareth. And it says, and he could there do no mighty work, save, he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Now, you see, other scriptures will talk about in certain place that everybody that was sick in that particular service or that particular day received their healing. But here, you see, in his hometown of Nazareth, just a few got healed. And the few who did get healed didn't have very much wrong with them. In fact, the Amplified Translation said he laid his hands on a few sickly folk and healed them. W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, and Vine was professor of Greek in Oxford University in England, and considered one of the, or actually the number two authority on the Greek language in the world. And he brings out in his Expository Dictionary Words on this verse that the Greek says, he laid his hands on a few folks with minor ailments. He laid his hands on a few folk with minor ailments. Well, if they were minor ailments, that means that no crippled person got healed in Nazareth under the ministry of Jesus. That means that no bedfast person, or paralyzed person, or blind person, or deaf person received healing under the ministry of Jesus in his hometown of Nazareth. Now, some might ask the question, well, now, why? Why was it that way? Why didn't they? If he's who he claims to be, well, you see, the truth about the matter is that the next verse tells you. Look at it, the sixth verse. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he marveled because of their unbelief. It wasn't a matter of who he is. It wasn't a matter of what kind of power he had. It wasn't a matter if he was anointed with God's power. It's a matter of what they believe. You see, in the case of this woman with the issue of blood, Jesus didn't say, daughter, my faith's made you whole, or somebody else's faith's made you whole. Don't misunderstand us. Sometimes we can help people with our faith, and sometimes we can carry people temporarily and momentarily with our faith. But you know, he said to her, daughter, thy faith did it. Thy faith has made thee whole. Praise God. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So you see that God's healing power, though Jesus was anointed with that power is inactive. That power is inoperative. That power is passive until faith is exercised. It is not God that gives action to that power. It is not something that the one who's anointed with that power does that gives action to that power. It's something that the one being ministered to or came to be ministered to does that gives action to that power. Jesus was anointed with healing power. You see, the text said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. With what? With the Holy Ghost and something else. And with power. Now then, when this woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus' clothes, the Bible doesn't say the Holy Ghost went out of him. He knew immediately in himself that the Holy Ghost went out of him because the Holy Ghost didn't go out of him. Now, he did some things under the inspiration and anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's a different subject. But the scripture said power went out of him. This power that he was anointed with went out of him, flowed out of him, was transmitted to him from him, and he was aware of the transmission because he knew it went out of him. And the woman was aware of the reception. Now then, notice this. What is this power that went out of Jesus? Well, it's healing power because it healed that woman, praise God. It's healing power. And the scripture said, he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. He went about doing good and healing. Hallelujah. And so therefore, God's healing power is a tangible substance. God's healing power is a heavenly materiality. Tangible, you know, means it's perceptible to the touch. It's capable of being touched.
Dr. John Lake said, it is one of the most difficult things in all the world for people who are not familiar with the ministry of healing to comprehend that the power of God, that is God's healing power, is tangible, actual, a living quantity, just as real as electricity, just as real as any other native force, yea, and a great deal more so. It is the life principle that stands behind all manifestations of life everywhere. And then Dr. Lake went on to say, if we could make the world understand the pregnant vitality of the power of God, he's talking about the healing power of God, men would discover that healing is not only a matter of faith and a matter of the grace of God, but a perfectly scientific application of God's power to man's need. The power of God, the healing power of God, he went on to say, is just as tangible as electricity is. You handle it. You minister it to another by the laying on of hands, or, as in the case of Paul, by the cloths or by the handkerchiefs. Now then, let's go back to the thought for a moment that this power is inactive, or it is passive, until faith is exercised. You see, Jesus now is anointing. The scripture said, God anointed him with that power. I want you to notice this, that the Bible said, God did this. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Notice that Jesus said, in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, and in the 10th verse, that my Father in me, he doeth the works. You see, Jesus never personally claimed to heal anybody. In fact, he said he didn't. He said, my Father, that's God, in me, John 14:10, he doeth the works. Now, how did God heal people or do these works? Through Jesus, by the anointing of healing power that he placed upon him. The text said here, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Now, this isn't something Paul did any more than it was something that Jesus did. And you know none of us can ever claim really to do anything. Now that doesn't mean that we don't have our part to play, because we do. You know, you never saved anybody, but you did get people saved sometimes. I've got people saved by just witnessing, talking to them. They begin to weep, get under conviction. We just knelt down, they prayed, and they received Jesus, their Savior. Well, I didn't save them. I played the part that God intended that I should play, all right. He told us to be witnesses for him, isn't that right? Amen. Now you see, you can read verses like that and somebody says, oh yeah, but now Paul could do that. Well, Paul didn't do anything. The Bible said God did it. See, some folks said, oh yeah, Paul could do that because, you see, Paul was an apostle. Well, Paul didn't do it. The Bible said God did it. You see, these folks go on to imply now the apostles died, so all that ceased. Well, the apostles didn't do it. God did it, and he hasn't died. He's still alive. Praise the Lord. And he's the same God he was. Because he said he was. And he says he is. He never has changed. Never has changed. Never will change. Hallelujah. The Bible knows no God that doesn't heal. Absolutely. There isn't any such a thing as a God of the Bible that doesn't heal or hasn't healed and won't heal. He's a healing God. All through the Old Testament you see it. In the New Testament, you see it, and it's still true today. Praise God. Well, listen. God did something by Paul's hands. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. What happened? So that from his body, well, your hands are a part of your body, so I take it from that that Paul laid his hands on these handkerchiefs or these cloths or handled them. God was in that. And then these handkerchiefs were taken to people who were sick. And the Bible said the diseases departed from them. And the evil spirits went out of them. Where there were evil spirits oppressing the body, they left. Praise God. Well, there had to be some power that was greater than disease, some power that was greater than evil spirits to affect that. It was God's power. Hallelujah. How do you suppose God did that? Same way he did through Jesus, by anointing Paul to minister. And when Paul laid his hands on these claws, those claws were saturated with that power. God's power. God's healing power. Let me say it again, and I'll keep on saying it, because it's when people believe it that it starts working for them. God's healing power is a tangible substance, a heavenly materiality. It is transmittable by the laying on of hands or by a cloth or a handkerchief. Now then, let's go back to the thought for a moment. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing. And John 10, or 14:10, my Father Jesus said, in me he doeth the works. Now Jesus said it was God that healed through him. How did God do it? He did it by the anointing that he'd placed upon him. Now how does this anointing work? If we can find out how, we'll know how it works now. Because it works the same. God's spiritual laws haven't changed and will never change. The same laws that govern the operation of God's power and spiritual power, the same laws that worked then will work now. They don't change. They never will change. Because they're eternal laws. Well, Jesus said, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. So then faith's got something to do with it. Jesus said, you know, to his disciples, somebody touched me. The disciples said, well, Lord, Master, the multitude thronged thee, and sayest thou, somebody touched me. You notice the expression in this portion of Scripture? It said the woman came in the press behind and touched his clothes. The disciples said, the multitude thronged thee. Notice the expression, throng, multitude, press. In other words, the disciples said, Lord, there's no telling how many people touched you. You ever been in a throng, multitude, where there's pressing in on every side? Well, you just get touched on every side. In other words, they're saying to him, you know, you said somebody touched me. Well, there's no telling how many people touched you. The multitude's thronging you. But you see, that healing power only flowed out to one person in that throng. That healing power was transmitted to only one person in that crowd, in that multitude. Only one. It didn't flow out or wasn't transmitted by the touch of curiosity. I'm sure many touched him through curiosity. Just reached out, touched him, and went by. They'd heard that others had touched him and was healed. Because the Word of God tells about it in other places. And so they touched him. Doesn't help. That power, you see, is inactive. Though one may be anointed with that power, it is inactive. It is inoperative. It is passive until faith is exercised. And then others touched him accidentally. No doubt about that. Just in a throng, in a crowd, just pushed up against it. But that power didn't become active. It wasn't activated by the accidental touch. It wasn't activated by the curiosity touch. But when that woman touched him in faith, it was activated. Immediately that power was activated. Amen. Immediately that power flowed right into her. Hallelujah. And immediately Jesus knew that the power had gone out of him. Last March, we were in Tyler, Texas, in the ballroom of the Carlton Hotel. We We were ministering to the sick one night by the laying on of hands. And I remember a lady came. She couldn't get up there by herself. She was on a crutch of some kind, and then her husband helped her also, because she's bound with arthritis and had a number of other things. And so he was standing there, in fact, helped her get up out of the chair or the seat, and then got her up there, and then he's standing there holding her. And I came down the line. I said everything to him that I say to folks is a usual thing. And I came down the line laying hands on him. When I got to her and laid hands on her head, I said, just like laying hands on a doorknob. No response. No action. See? Well, I did the best I could, you see, but I didn't have time to stop and preach her a sermon right there in the middle of the healing service, so I went right on after touching her and laying hands on her. I just went on and said, receive your healing, same thing I did to herself, went on down the line. Well, we finished the service, and I dismissed them. And so I was here on the platform getting my watch and putting it back on and closing up my Bible, so she came up here with her husband. And said, may I talk to you? Well, I said, you may. And so she said to him, help me get up there. And so I took hold of one hand, and he got her by the arm, and she finally made that step and got up here on the platform. Now, we did have a rug on the platform, too. And so she said, Brother Hagin said, you know, you laid hands on me. I didn't feel a thing. I didn't tell her, but I didn't either. It's like laying hands on a doorknob. Well, I didn't want to disturb her faith, you know, if she was believing something. I said, well, you really don't base faith on feeling anyhow. You, though faith will bring feeling, you base faith on what God said, God's Word said. Well, she said, I didn't fall like the rest of them. Everybody else fell. I don't know what you call it. She said, I'm Presbyterian. I've never been in any kind of service like this. This is my first time around, you know. So I can understand. It would be a little odd to the folks, you know, never been there. But she said, I didn't fall under the power or whatever it was. Well, I said, you don't get healed because you fell under the power, and you sure don't get healed because you didn't fall under the power. You get healed because you believe God, and God's power is just as strong sometimes when it comes upon a person. The natural comes in contact with the supernatural, that they will be overcome with that power. But it still won't heal them unless they mix faith with it. And then she let the cat out of the bag. Well, she said, you know, I really didn't believe anything anyhow. I started telling her, well, I know that, sister. I could have told you that while ago, but I just was curious and didn't. She said, you know, I thought I'd just try that. But you know it don't work trying it. I thought I'd just try it to see if anything would happen, and it didn't. And it won't. She said, would you lay your hand on me again? Well, I said, it won't do any good if you're in the same shape you was in a while ago. But if you're ready to believe something, if you're ready to put some faith with it, if you're ready to believe in God's tangible healing power, and that it is tangible, and that it is of a heavenly materiality, and that it is transmittable by laying on a hand, if you're ready to believe that I'm anointed with that power and receive it, I'll lay hands on it. She said, I believe that. Now, I just laid hands on her a few minutes, really, before, and I'll tell you, it's cold, dead. No life, no response, just as dead as it would be if you'd laid your hands on a doorknob. You know, you can lay hands on people like that until you wore every hair off the top of the head. And they'd never get a thing in the world. In fact, all they'd ever get out of it would be a bald head. Amen. But I tell you, it makes all the difference in the world then when you touch someone in faith. I just reached my hand out as I stood here and she stood there. Just reached my hand, and I barely brushed her forehead with my hand. I didn't really lay my hand good on her head. I just barely touched her. Until I tell you, it was just like something within her just reached out and grabbed hold of that and jerked that out of me. That power flowed out of me so fast that it almost took my breath. It's like, you know, that I'd got a hold of an electric line somewhere. It shook me. And she just fell over backwards like you'd knocked her in the head with a baseball bat. Now, her husband, he had backed off just a little bit there. He made it, but he was a little old, too, because both of them was in the 70s, and his reflexes weren't quite fast enough to get her. He did barely touch her, but she fell. Nobody caught her. She fell on that platform. Well, now, he had stepped back down off of it there, see, and her head was right about the edge of the platform. Now, there was a rug on it, and he knelt down there, you know, and began to fan her with his hand. and to pat her cheek and say, Mama, Mama, I said, she's all right, brother. She's all right. There's nothing wrong with it. He thought she had fainted, you see, or something. I said, that's just God's power on her. Oh, he said, and he went back to fanning her. I said, just get up and leave her alone. And so he got up and said, well, if you say so. I said, so just get up and leave her alone. I said, that's the power of God that's on her. God's healing her right now. That healing power is working in her body. She believes. I knew that. That faith had reached out. And so she lay there for a while. And then directly she began to move just a little bit. And another lady had come up there then, so she and her husband helped her up. I just stood there and watched it because I knew what God had done. And so he began to help her, you know, and hand her a crutch back to her. Oh, she said, I don't need that. I'm healed. I don't need it. And, you know, every symptom of her arthritis is gone. And she just stepped right down off the platform without his help, with nobody's help, and she was completely liberated and free. Well, now, a night or two later, I was preaching, trying to show the folks that you've got to mix faith with the power for it to work for you. It won't work just because the power's there. And I told about this lady who had come, you see, and I said she told me she was Presbyterian. And I looked the congregation over, and the congregation was about as large as, maybe a little larger than this congregation. And I didn't see her. I thought I didn't. I mean, I didn't recognize her. And I said, well, I don't see her here. She'd bear witness to it. And a lady over there said, oh, I'm here. I'm here. Yes, that's right. And she just rose right up, you know. And I'll tell you, I believe she looked 20 years younger than she did two nights before. And then she bore witness to it. Yes, she said, I'm perfectly healed. And then she said, not only the arthritis, not only do I don't need the crutch anymore or need my husband to help me, I'm completely free. But she said, you see, also, I had on a hearing aid, I was deaf. Without a hearing aid, couldn't hear a thing. Said, you see, I don't have it on here and everything perfect. And not only that, but she said, I had high blood pressure and I had heart condition. All that's gone too. I haven't had any more heart medicine or blood pressure medicine, and I'm just perfectly well. In fact, she said, I feel 20 years younger. I said, you look it too. Praise the Lord. But now you see, the woman had come and hadn't got a thing in the world. It wasn't. She had not failed to receive because the power wasn't there, because God's anointing power was there. She didn't make the contact. Turn over to Luke, the 5th chapter. And I want you to notice something. The 17th verse of the 5th chapter of Luke's gospel. I want you to see something here now. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Well, now, the reason the power of the Lord was present to heal them was because Jesus was anointed with that power. But did you know, and if you don't believe it, go on reading the chapter, did you know that not one single one of them got healed? So you see, that proves that just because the power's there, or the power alone won't heal you. You see, we've had the mistaken idea, if you've got the power, it'll work. If it don't work, it's because you don't have the power. No, that's not right. Power won't work by itself. Faith has to be mixed with it. There'll be no activity on the part of power whatsoever until faith's exercised. And so it said, this verse said, 17th verse, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. It tells who was there. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now then it says, now let's go on reading. We're going to read just a little bit. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, well, now I want you to notice something. You see, it already states here that he was in this house And there were gathered together scribes and Pharisees and doctors of the law from the towns, the cities, the villages, you see, round about Judea and Jerusalem and so on, for to hear him teach. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now that's already stated. This man on the bed's not there in that crowd then. He hadn't come yet. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. So here came four men with this man who had creeping paralysis or palsy. The man who was bedfast, they just brought him on his bed. And they sought to get in. You see, means whereby they might get in. And they couldn't get into the house because of the multitude. See, the power of the Lord was present to heal the multitude. Them. So they couldn't get in. So they took the man up on the housetop. And they broke up the tiling. And they let the man down into the presence of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he acted. Whose faith? Well, of course, the four men who brought him. Can you see faith? Well, no, not as such, but you can see the result of it. You can see, you know, James said, faith without works is dead, being alone. That's a little blind to us. Weymouth translation reads, faith without corresponding actions is dead. King James translation said, James said, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Again, Weymouth translation makes it clearer. You show me your faith without your actions, and I'll show you my faith by my actions. See? I like that. That's better. It makes it clearer to you. Because, see, people get their mind off on works and working to be saved. They haven't got a thing in the world to be saved about being saved. The people James is writing to is already saved. He's writing to the church, saved people, because he said a little later on in his letter, is any sick among you, let him call the elders of the church. Among you, the church. So he isn't talking about working to be saved, certainly not. But he's talking about just the way Weymouth brings it out in his translation, that faith without actions is dead. And you show me your faith without your actions, and I'll show you my faith by my actions. And you see, when he saw these men, these four men that brought Jesus, when he saw their action, he saw their faith. You see, faith, like love, is of the heart. We say sometimes, you know, show love, and yet no one ever saw love. No, you can't see love. It's in the spirit realm. You can see the results of it. Love is revealed in word and action. And when you see the hear the word or see the action, you talk about seeing love, but really you didn't see love. It's just like this. People talk about seeing the wind sometime, but you never saw the wind. Nobody did. You see the leaves are blowing, but you didn't see the wind. You saw the results of the wind, or you felt it blowing on you. You didn't see love. It's revealed in word and action. When you heard the word or saw the action, then you saw the love to a certain extent. Well, faith of the heart. It's of the spirit. It's revealed in word and action too. It's safe to say there is no love without word or action. And there is no faith without word or action. Faith is revealed in word and action. Love is revealed in word and action. See, he saw their actions. He saw their faith then. They brought the man. That's action. They couldn't get in. They took him up on the house. They broke up the roof of the house, the tile, and took it up. A space large enough to get a man in a bed down through it. And got him, let him down in the presence of Jesus. Well, somebody said, now, was this man healed then because of the faith and by the faith of the four men that brought him? It said when Jesus saw their faith. Well, I personally believe, and I think you can see it, and it can be proven that it was all five of them's faith. The four that brought him, they demonstrated they had faith. Their actions demonstrate that. But the man on the bed, you can see that he demonstrated by his actions that he had faith. How many bedfast people let somebody take them up on top of the house? Why, most bedfast people would be a hollering, boy, don't take me up there. If you can't get it, you might as well take me back home. I mean, I'm already in bad enough shape as it is. You get me up there and drop me in, I will be in a bad shape. Then not only that, but this man on the bed demonstrated that he had faith when Jesus said to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. You know, when Jesus said that to him, he wasn't any better off than he was to begin with. He's still bedfast. But it was when he endeavored to act on what Jesus said that that healing power was manifested in him. That power was there before he got there. That power was there to heal them, and yet them didn't get healed. Only him got healed. The scripture didn't say the power of the Lord was present to heal him. It said he's present to heal them. And yet them didn't receive healing. Only him got healed. Now, why did him get healed and them didn't? Now, that's not good English, but you understand it, don't you? You know, I tried to put the feed right down here where people are. There's no use putting it way off up here. I went to a zoo one time, you know, and I was going along, and directly I saw, before I ever saw what was in there, I saw a great big something, looked like about number three washtub, tied way up yonder. Man, it looked like it's 15, 20 feet up there on this wire fence. I thought to myself, boy, I've got who in the world, what in the world could eat out of that thing? And as we got on around there, I saw it was a giraffe. And man, that's the longest neck I ever saw in my life. And I saw that's where they fed him, way up there. They didn't put the food down here. They put it way up there where his head was, you know. And it's just about even with it. And so I looked the crowd over good and haven't seen a giraffe here. Amen. And so I'm not putting the feed away up here. I'm putting it right down here where you can get it. Amen. I believe it ought to be that way, don't you think so? I think too many times that people, preachers, sometimes think they're preaching to giraffes. Well, just because they're giraffes is no sign that everybody's a giraffe. So they're trying to feed everybody way up here on this level, and nobody understands what even they're talking about sometimes. Well, that does very little, if any good at all, except confuse folks. Now, you wouldn't believe it. I know you wouldn't. You wouldn't think it was impossible at all, but I used to preach that way. Now, if you don't believe it, you can ask my wife. When we first married, she'd say to me, because I went in, you wouldn't think it now, I've forgotten all of them. I just don't fool them anymore. But I went in particularly for big words. You know, I think I thought that was impressive, you know. And she'd say to me, she said, honey, in preaching on Sunday morning, I said, what in the world do you use all those big words for? Said, you'll use some big word and then take 15 minutes to explain what that word means. And then the Lord began to deal with me, you see. I'd just gotten the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It takes a little while, you know, for the Holy Ghost to work some of us over. But the Holy Ghost will do that which is edifying. Bible says that, doesn't it? The Lord keeps saying to me, slow it down. Slow it down. Make it simple. 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 Folks won't get it. And you know they won't. They won't. And so the Lord reminded me in his ministry that he made it simple. He preached to people, you know, and he'd use illustrations of sheep and sheep folds and shepherds and vineyards and grapes and so on and so forth, where even the common man could understand what he said. He didn't use terms that no one could understand. You know, it's really that way. And it should be that way. And so I've really studied ever since the Lord dealt with me way back there in 1939. Now, we were married in 38. And then in 1939, I began way back there then to seek means to say something the simplest way I could. On the lowest level I could say it on. And, you know, I've gone to places. We were one place particularly, and we were invited, my wife and I, with some folks. And everybody there either was a college professor or the wife of a college professor. And they had all the degrees and so on, you know. And they said, Brother Higgins, one thing we like about your ministry, said, you make it so simple that even people like us can understand it. And I just smiled and said, well, praise the Lord. Amen. They're not a giraffe either. And so the truth of the gospel needs to be made plain and simple, doesn't it? Well, listen to me. As I said, I know that's not good, but you got it. You got the point anyway. That's not correct English, but you got the point. The Bible said the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And this man wasn't there at the time this was said. Here then came the man.
Well, now, why didn't they get healed? If the power of the Lord was there to heal them, you read this whole chapter, and you tell me if anybody else got healed here. And they didn't. Not another single one of that crowd got healed. Really, not one single one of that crowd got healed. This man came from the outside. When Jesus saw their faith, he demonstrated he had faith. The man on the bed demonstrated he had faith. The man who brought him demonstrated these men demonstrated they had faith. Why wasn't that power? If the power will heal you by itself, why didn't that power go ahead and heal these people? The power to heal them was there. The Bible said it was there. Did you know the real truth about it? That God's power to heal is everywhere present because God's everywhere present in the person of the Holy Spirit. He's everywhere present. And really, the power of God to heal is everywhere present. Why don't it heal people? Well, we read marvelous testimonies at times about people who knew nothing about the teaching of divine healing, who in a moment exercised faith and did get healed. Well, that power was there all the time. If they had just known it, if they were just conscious of it, if they had just known what the Bible says or said, that power was there all the time. It didn't just come that day. Because God's power is everywhere present. And that power would have healed them any day of the week or any day of the month. It was when they exercised faith. I heard an Episcopalian lawyer who knew nothing about divine healing give a testimony. He wasn't the speaker. He just gave a short testimony before the main speaker spoke several years ago in Houston, Texas, at the Full Gospel Business Men's Breakfast Meeting. And this Episcopalian lawyer had an incurable disease. It came upon him when he was about 37 years of age, and he had been under the care of doctors in Houston, and the doctors there sent him to some other specialists in other places, and finally they located what was wrong with him, but they also knew that it was an incurable condition. Medical science knew nothing as far as a cure and could do nothing about it, and they said to him, you will grow progressively worse, and you'll get, you see, he had gotten to the place where he didn't have good control of himself. His hands wouldn't work right, and his tongue wouldn't work right. Well, a lawyer's got to talk, you know. And he had noticed that in court and pleading cases, that he'd come into place and suddenly he couldn't say anything. His tongue didn't want to work. And it was some kind of a degenerative disease of the nerves and a deterioration of the nerves. The medical science had a word for it, a name for it, but nothing can be done. And you'll grow steadily worse. And you'll get to the place that to be able to get by, you'll have to get on canes to balance yourself. And then you'll get off of that on crutches. And then you'll get into a wheelchair. And then you'll get into the bed and become totally helpless before you die. Well, he had done just exactly what the doctor said. Went to the canes, to the crutches, to the wheelchair. And now then he's in the bed. Bedfast. Just waiting to die. Well, he said, I was a member of Episcopal Church, but that wasn't saved. Didn't know I wasn't saved. But a fellow brother in the Episcopal Church detected that, came and visited him. Well, he'd been visiting. And finally just confronted him one day and said, I want to ask you a question. I know you and I both are members of such and such Episcopal Church. But do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Have you ever had a personal experience and a personal confrontation with Jesus Christ? He said, I said to him, why, no. Has anybody? Can you? I know that there is such a person as the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, but to say that I know him personally, I know about him. I don't know him. Can you really know him? Can you really become acquainted with him? Can you have what you were saying? The man said, you sure can. I have. And he said, that man prayed with me, and I found the Lord in a real way. And I knew I was saved. I knew I was born again. And then he said, you know, when I read the Bible, or had the Bible read to me, for he couldn't handle it much, it became alive to me. It was a different book. And he began to see some scriptures in the Bible, though he'd read it, you know, in a way for years he'd never seen before. Scriptures like Mark 11:24, what things have you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and ye shall have them. And he said he was praying one day there in the room by himself. An Episcopalian lawyer, now up about 42 or 3 years of age. This thing came on him. He's about 37, you see. And by 42, he's completely bedfast with it now. Just a few days, and he'll be dead. But he's praying one day. And he said, Lord, is it possible, you know, that he began to get little glimpses of light here and there, that that a person could get the prayers answered even for healing today, you know? I mean, is that what I'm seeing? Is that in there? No one told him. You see, this other man just led him to the Lord. That's all he knew. He just began to get some glimpses of light from the Word. And he sat there one morning in my room at 10 o'clock in the morning. Suddenly he said, I know some folks in my church, they think it's far-fetched, you know, but he said, I had a vision and Jesus stood right there by my bedside. He stood there right by my bedside. Said, I am the Lord. Just reached his hand out like that. Said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And he said, you know, when he said that, there was something that came all over me, just like a warm glow. And I don't remember getting up. I couldn't walk. Would never walk again, medical science. And I don't believe I got up, walked out of bed, said, seemed like something lifted me up. That power just lifted me up out of bed, and set me on the feet. Next thing I realized is walking around the room, I've been perfectly healed ever since then. Hallelujah. Well, now, Jesus manifested himself to him, but you know, Jesus didn't just come that day in the power and the person of the Spirit. He was there every day. Are you listening to me? But you see, this man began to see something, he said, from God's Word. He began to get little glimpses of light. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. And of course, his faith wasn't great, but it doesn't take great faith. It just takes taking God at his Word. Praise God forevermore. But then, of course, men can be anointed with healing power to minister today as God wills. See, God wants to heal people so badly. It's difficult to believe. It's difficult to believe sometimes in the unseen realm. It takes more faith just to reach out, you see, on your own. So God puts ministries in the church. And he anoints men to minister. Because you can see that man, you can feel his hands laid upon you, and it's an aid to your faith. I've said it to you before, I have to keep saying it, you understand why I do. The second day of September, 1950, in Rockwall, Texas, in the tent meeting, as we were all praying around the altar, we knelt there to pray about 9:45. I think we'd been praying about 15 minutes. I was kneeling by a chair, right beside the pulpit on the platform, praying in other tongues, in the Spirit. When I suddenly heard a voice speak to me in the English language. And the voice said three times, come up hither. And the fourth time the voice said, is the voice of a man speaking. It said, come up hither, come up to the throne of God. And I opened my eyes to see who was doing the talking. When I opened my physical eyes, God permitted me to see into the spirit realm. You know, the spirit world is just as real as the physical world is. It's more real than the physical world is. God, who is the Spirit, created all things. God permitted me to see into the spirit world. I had my physical eyes wide open, but every chair in that tent disappeared. Every person disappeared. The tent disappeared. The tent poles disappeared. And I looked up about where the top of the tent should have been, and there stood Jesus. And I had the sensation of going up and standing with him right there in midair. And when I got up there, he said, let us go up to the throne of God. And we went up and stood before the throne of God. And he began his conversation with me by saying, I called you before you were born. I separated you from your mother's womb. And then he went on talking to me about my ministry. And then finally he said to me, stretch forth thine hands. And he held his own hands out just like that. And so I held my hands out in front of me like that. And he took the finger of his right hand. And he laid it in the palm of my right hand. And he laid that same finger in the palm of my left hand. And the minute he did, the palms of my hands began to burn like I had a coal of fire in them, a spot a little larger than a half a dollar. They feel that way right now. And then he said, kneel down before me, and so I knelt down before him. And he laid his hand, right hand on my head. And he said, I have called thee and anointed thee and given unto thee a special anointing. Then I knew what that was. It was an anointing of his power, healing power. A special anointing to minister to the sick. Now he said to me, you tell the people exactly what I've told you. Tell them you saw me. Tell them what I said to you. Tell them I laid the finger of my right hand upon each one of your hands. Tell them that I said that if they will believe it, that is, believe I'm anointed, believe the anointings in my hands, and will believe that and will receive it, then that anointing will flow from your hands into their body and will drive out their sickness and their disease. Somebody said, does it work? Well, that's that blind woman down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana last October in the Bethany Baptist Church. Totally blind, 3 full years. We laid hands upon her. God's power came upon her. She fell flat on the floor. Lay there for a moment, but instantly got up seeing. Both eyes were open. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody said the proof of the pudding's in the eating. Hallelujah.